Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. Can't praise the Lord, everybody. It's so good to be here on this morning. We're going to sing a song that comes from Psalms chapter 63. The most powerful thing in the world is to be able to sing and know the scripture and the word of God. And this song, if you put it up on the screen, Psalms chapter 63, it's just a melody made to this song, right? Made to this psalm. And we want you all to worship with us as we sing it. Oh God.
Oh God, you are my God.
Early will.
Early will, I seek your face.
My soul thirsts.
My soul thirsts for you.
And my flesh.
And my flesh longs for you.
In a dry.
In a dry and barren.
Where no water is to be found.
Where no water is to be found.
So I have looked for you.
So I have looked for you.
In the sanctuary.
In the sanctuary.
To see the power.
To see your power and your glory.
Because
your loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise
all.
You all my life.
Say thus.
Thus will I bless you.
While I live.
While I live. I will lift up my hands.
Let's do that again. Verse 1. Oh God.
Oh God, you are my God.
Early will I seek your face.
Early will I seek your face.
My soul
thirsts for you.
And
my flesh longs for you.
In a dry and barren land.
In the dry and barren land.
Where no water is to be found.
Where no water is to be found.
So I have looked for you.
So I have looked for you.
In the sanctuary.
To
see your power.
See your power.
Yeah. Somebody lift your hand and say,
because your love
is better than life.
Is better than life.
My lips shall
praise
all.
All my life.
Say thus.
Thus will I bless.
While I live. I will live.
I will lift up my hands.
Because your loving kindness, say.
Because your loving kindness.
Is better than life.
Is better than life.
My lips shall
praise all. You all my life.
Thus will
I bless you while I live.
I will lift up one more time. Because your loving kindness. Come on, no music. Come on, put those hands and say
it's better than life.
My lips shall
praise you all my life.
And
thus will I bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name.
Part goes like this, y'all. Say, oh, 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 oh. Can you help me say, yeah? Say, oh,
oh.
It's real simple. Everybody can say this part right here.
Deliver me.
God bless me. He blessed me.
He saved me.
He healed me. He healed me.
Yeah.
Deliver me.
Deliver me.
Important to say it. say, God bless me, he blessed me.
He blessed me.
Come on,
he
point and smile. He saved me, he saved me.
He saved
Come on,
me,
point and smile.
He healed me,
he healed me.
He healed me, he healed me.
Deliver, deliver, deliver me.
Deliver, deliver,
Come on, say it with me.
Me.
God bless me, he hey. Blessed me.
He blessed me. He
God yes. saved me, he saved me.
He saved me, he saved me.
God healed me, he healed me.
He healed me, he healed me.
Deliver, deliver, deliver me.
Deliver, deliver,
say, oh.
Me.
Lift your hand and say, God bless. He blessed me. He blessed me.
He blessed me. He blessed me.
He healed me. He healed me.
He healed me. He healed me.
He saved me. He saved me.
He saved me. He saved me.
Deliver, deliver, deliver me.
Deliver, deliver, deliver me.
Oh, deliver, deliver, deliver me. Have you delivered anyone? Have delivered, delivered, delivered you. He delivered, delivered, delivered me.
Deliver, deliver, deliver me.
God delivered, delivered, delivered me.
Deliver, deliver,
say, oh.
Oh.
Hands together for Jesus right now. Come on, come on, come on.
Hallelujah. Woo!
It's yours.
It's your inheritance.
Yeah.
It's your inheritance.
Woo.
You are by faith the blessings of Abraham. The blessings of Abraham.
Come on, verse one again.
Blessings of Abraham.
I'll say that verse again. Wherever you are, wherever you go, whatever you touch, it's anointed.
Wherever you are, wherever you go,
whatever you touch,
whatever you touch is anointed.
Why?
You are blessed.
New life, get your inheritance.
It's your inheritance. It's your inheritance. You are blessed by faith. The blessings of Abraham.
Yeah.
The blessings of Abraham.
Come on, I want you to grab somebody's hand right now. I want you to lift it up and say, get your
inheritance.
Come on, lift up somebody's hand. Come on. Time, get your inheritance.
It's your inheritance.
Come on, everything God promised you this year.
You are the blessings of Abraham. The blessings of Abraham.
Well, let's put those hands together. Come on, put them together.
Woo!
God in this place.
Get your
inheritance. Why? Because you are the head.
Get the head.
Not the tail.
Not the tail.
Above.
Above.
Hallelujah. Not beneath.
Not beneath.
Alinda.
Alinda. Not a mama.
Get it.
Get your inheritance.
Come on, lift your hand and say it with us.
Get your inheritance.
Come on, get my inheritance.
Get your inheritance.
Come on, God promised it to you.
Get your inheritance.
Come on, sopranos.
Get your inheritance.
Come on, tenors.
Get your inheritance.
Everybody say,
get your inheritance.
Come on, put those hands together and say,
get your
put your hands together. Come on.
Inheritance.
Come on, all over the room. Put
get
those hands together.
Inheritance.
Right now, right now, right now.
Get your inheritance.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Get your inheritance. Get your
Alinda,
not a follower. Get your inheritance.
Get it.
Get your inheritance.
Come on.
Get your inheritance.
Come on, come on.
Get
come on, sopranos. Say it.
Get your inheritance. Get your inheritance. Get your inheritance. Get your
I feel God in
get your inheritance.
time together for Jesus right now. Come on. All over the room.
Hallelujah.
Come on, come on, come on, Pastor Seth.
Oh, go ahead and give him some high praise right now. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ Jesus, have put on Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. God's made you a great promise this morning, but you've got to reach out and lay hold of it. The song is preaching to us this morning. God's made a promise. I want to lay hold of the promise this morning. God's promised a blessing. I want to embrace the blessing. Go ahead and clap your hands. Lift up your voices. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. We appreciate so much Brother Gary Ellis Jr. and his sisters, and the adopted sister Jennifer is with them, but she's just part of their family. And Najjar and Anthony are just traveling with them, but they're all family. These folks are all family. I know that because when I visit their church, I wondered about the size of your family because everybody that comes in his office calls him Dad. And after about 100 people had come through and called him Pops or Dad, I thought, he's a prolific man. Or he has a wonderful relationship with the body of Christ in this house. And don't they minister wonderfully? Let's give a hand to these young people that have yielded their hearts and their spirits. And I'll just tell you, I'm not interested in doing concerts. Don't like them, don't care for them. That's why we don't have many here. But I love ministry. And I love folks that can minister in song and in music. And I can do that all night long. Well, praise God. And these folks do. I appreciate so much their anointing and the ministry that God has given them. We are so thrilled to have Brother Gary Ellis with us this morning. And he's a wonderful friend to this church. And he has helped us by coming here. And it's been our pleasure to interact with his congregation. If you would go to Clarksville, not Cleveland, like I said last night, but if you would go to Clarksville, Tennessee, this morning, you would feel at home there. They are brethren of like precious faith, the worship, the presence of God, the attitude in the house. You'd feel so very, very much at home. And I appreciate the great work that Brother and Sister Ellis have raised up there, and appreciate them being willing vessels. He has been a blessing to the Alabama district. I've had him come on several occasions and teach in our licensing seminar. And he's just a great resource for us in this day in the apostolic faith. And I want him to come this morning, and we're beginning the course of a new year, and we want to set vision and to stand up and look down the distances and handle the things of God with a new year in mind. And last week, God spoke to us powerfully, and I feel that same strength of spirit in the house today, that same opening of the portal. And Brother Ellis, I want you to just come and tell us what God has laid on your heart. And make yourself at home. Let's clap our hands unto him. Extend your hand toward him. Pray for his house and his family this morning.
Lift your hands and worship him right now. Hallelujah. Lift your voices and praise him. You are
the source of my strength.
You are the strength of my life.
You are,
lift your hands and praise him right now,
the strength.
You are the strength of my life. Clap your hands and praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, just make a whole lot of noise for Jesus this morning. Thank you, Jesus. 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 If you'll open your Bibles with me to the book of Job, we are so delighted to be here. And we feel the presence of the Lord. We are grateful for not only the ministry of Brother Sutton, but the friendship of people like Brother and Sister Sutton and the entire family. And this wonderful New Life family, thank you so much for being such a kind church. Amen. How many know people need a loving church? No, in a place like New Life, you can get the best of both worlds. I often teach, I say to people, if I had only two choices, a loving church that was not in the truth, a church in the truth with a bunch of mean people, I'd just have to deal with the mean people. But in a church like New Life, you get the best of both worlds. You can be in truth and have loving people. Somebody say amen. See, because you can go to heaven with mean people, but you cannot go to heaven without the truth. Somebody say amen. And in Noah's Ark, you know, he had to bring all the animals in. And they were there 40 days, 40 nights, and they did eat. Do you believe that? And when the animals eat, they didn't swim to go to the bathroom. They did what they had to do on the ark. But you know, I'd rather have the stink than the storm. How many know what I'm talking about now? Sometimes you can be in church and there can be some mess going on, but I'd rather be in the truth than to be lost when the Lord comes. Can you understand what I'm saying? But I'm glad to be in a church where I can have love and patience and kindness and friendship as well as the truth. So thank you so much for being such a wonderful church. In the book of Job, chapter 1, verse number 6, the word of the Lord reads, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job? That there's none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. And Satan answered the Lord and said, That Job feared God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he had on every side? And hast thou blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land? But put forth thy hand now and touch all that he had, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put forth not thy hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord." Now turn with me to the book of Job, chapter 23. Can you turn me up just a little bit in these monitors here? Just a little. Job chapter 23, verse number 8. "Behold, I go forward, but he is not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he had tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot had held his step, his way have I kept, and not declared.
Neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. But he is in one mind. Who can turn him? What his soul desired, even that he doth. For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. I want to talk to you today, and I want to use this thought from the chapter, first chapter, where the Lord asked Satan, where he commanded Satan, or he released Satan to take all that Job had, to rob him of all his possessions, even his health, because he believed in him. And I want to talk to you today, and I want to title this message, Because God Believes in Me. Touch your neighbor and say, neighbor, it's all because God believes in me. Put your Bibles down and clap your hands and make a lot of noise and thank God for his word. We thank you. Come on, let's thank you. Lord, tell me what happened. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Because God believes in me. Job is a very interesting book. It's a very old book. In fact, scholars say that the dialogue section of the book of Job was written in perhaps the most difficult to understand and the most archaic Hebrew in all the Old Testament. If you notice reading the book of Job, there's no mention of the law. There's no reference to Abraham. There's no reference to any of the covenants. It is said that the book of Job probably should have been dated somewhere in the neighborhood of 2100 to 1700 BC. It's an old book, very old book. In fact, they say that the book of Job was written before the time of Moses. Having been written before the time of Moses, it gives us insight to what people knew about God before mankind had ever been given any written revelation concerning God. What Job suggests is that human beings knew God before there was written law, before there was tablets of stone, laws of Moses, that people knew God as a personal, transcendent master of the world that he created. And as the creator of man, God gives us freedom, freedom of choice, most powerful gift man has ever been given since the fall of Adam was the power to choose. From all of creation, the power to choose. Because God is a moral being himself, and because God gives us the power to choose, he holds us morally responsible for all of our choices, regardless of our circumstances and situations. Somehow we've convinced ourselves, especially in the rise of the influence of secular humanism, that our human conditions and our human circumstances, our economic conditions, our economic situations, or whatever conditions we're in, somehow can justify doing things we should not do because things were so bad. But God will hold us accountable for every choice we make, regardless of what we are going through. As a moral being himself, God does punish evil. I know we don't like to hear about that today. Nobody likes to talk about judgment. Nobody likes to talk about things like hell. I'm sorry, but I'm still one of those preachers that believe there is a heaven and there is a hell. There are such things as right and wrong. There's a such thing as righteousness as sin. And God does deal with the issue of sin. God punishes sin and he rewards those who do right. God is righteous and God is holy, and God cannot be touched or approached by sin. Because in the sight of God, nothing is as repulsive as sin. Some might say, well, Brother Ellis, I'm not really in sin. I might not be doing all I need to do and all I should do, but at least I'm not out there doing all of this bad stuff. You see, God doesn't measure sin like we measure sin. Because the Bible says sin is the transgression of the law. And whatever God says, sin is the opposite of it. So if God just tells you to pray for those who hate you, if you fail to pray for those who hate you, that's sin. The Bible says in the book of James, chapter 4, verse 17, for a man to know to do good and to do it not, to him it is sin. God doesn't permit sin whether you're doing evil or whether you're simply failing to do what's right. God does not like sin. I'm sorry. I don't think I got on somebody's nerves today. But God hates sin. Regardless of what kind of sin. In fact, here's how deep God is about sin. He said in John, 1 John 3 and 10, this is how you know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. In other words, it's knowable. It's not secret. God gives an identification card to those who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. He that does not righteousness, he that does not do what is right to do, is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. You don't have to be a crackhead to not be a child of God. Now, this old doctrine going around, well, everybody's a child of God, not so. Not everybody is a child of God. The Bible just made it clear that not everybody is a child of God. But he did say everybody is the creation of God. But so is a cockroach. And so is an alley cat. And so is a chimpanzee. But they're not children of God. Let me tell you, not everything on a church pew is a child of God. Not everything under a steeple is a house of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God hates sin and cannot be touched or approached by sin. But God is loving and he wants to be approached, and he says that we can approach him through sacrifice. In today's time, it's not our own sacrifice, it is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. God forgives those who repent from their sins and turn to him, but he wants to be approached on his terms. Touch your neighbor and say, on God's way. God's kingdom is not Burger King. You cannot walk in it and say, give me heaven, but hold the righteousness. You can't walk into it and say, give me glory, but hold prayer. You cannot give me, I wish I had somebody saying amen. Give me protection, but hold commitment. No, sir, this is not Burger King. If you want salvation, and if you want deliverance, and if you want victory in your life, you've got to have it God's way. You see, this philosophy that's so prevalent today, you do what feels good to you, and I'll do what feels good to me. You do what you like to do, and I'll do what I like to do. And you do what's on your mind, and I'll do what's on my mind. What Bible did we get that from? What scripture can you show me that validates that principle? In fact, going all the way back to the days of Cain and Abel, the Bible said in the process of time, they began to worship the Lord. And when they began to worship the Lord, they brought sacrifices to the altar. And God said that Abel brought the sacrifice that he wanted. In fact, God said that unto Abel and to his offering, he had respect. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had no respect. Doesn't that mean that you cannot just bring God anything you want to bring him? Oh, but Cain had such an arrogant spirit toward God, such an arrogant attitude toward the things of God, like many of us in our culture and our world today. When God rebuked him for his offering, if thou doest well, God said, shalt thou not be accepted? And rather than Cain humbling himself and submitting himself and honoring God with the right offering, Cain got
angry and full of wrath. And God said unto Cain, why are you angry? And why has thy face got all messed up? Why are you angry? And why has thy countenance falling? Tell your neighbor, neighbor, backsliding just ain't in the soul. It's on the face. I wish I had somebody saying amen. And so he said, why, if you do as well, shalt thou not be accepted? But Cain got even angrier. And he got so angry with God that he decided to kill his brother. And I want to tell you how messed up Cain's mind had got simply because he refused to do things God's way. He felt like, if I get Abel out the way, I've got no more competition. God just have to do it like I want him to do it. Oh, you follow me now? That's why folk come in church and they criticize other people and they put the finger on other people and they, oh, I wish I had somebody saying amen. And they put down folk that's trying to live right and they put down people who's trying to live holy, because they feel like they can drag them down and discourage them and kill them and mar their character and ruin their reputation, that somehow they can feel big. That doesn't change God. He still wants the same thing. You got to come in through repentance. You got to be baptized in Jesus' name. You got to receive the Holy Ghost. I don't care where you come from.
Well, what you like to do. But even though through tradition and vision, Job and his friends knew an awful lot about the Lord, ultimately, God remained hidden. God remained hidden. So in the book of Job, we're discovering how God's working with people is explored, and how the suffering of this hero, this good man, with friends like he had, a family like he had, well, people just could not understand why God would allow a good man, a righteous man, to suffer such a horrible circumstance. When we meet Job, we find a pious man, a wealthy man, a man who whose wealth had not led him to pride. In fact, his wealth seemed to deepen his awareness of sin. As was common in those days, Job was the priest of his household, prayed for his children. He made sacrifices to God to even cover the possible sins of his children, though he knew nothing of a lifestyle. But Job knew the deceit of the human heart. Let me interject this in here while I can. Don't you let anybody convince you in this humanistic age that you just need to do what you feel in your heart. For the Bible declares that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And who can know it? Don't you let nobody tell you you just do what you feel. Because the heart is even more deceitful than the devil himself. In fact, it was the heart that gave us the devil in the first place. There were three bodies of angels, one Lucifer, one Gabriel, and one Michael. The angel of war, Michael, the angel of communication, Gabriel, and the angel of worship, Lucifer. He was the most anointed cherub. Tablets and pipes was created in him. Every precious stone was his covering. He walked up and down in the midst of fire, in the mountains of the stones of fire. And he had access to God that none of the other angels had. He had God's ear and he had all of heaven. But one day he got so lifted up in his gifts and abilities, he said in his heart, he said a few utterances, and one of those was, I will exalt myself above the throne of God. I will exalt myself above the stars of God, and I shall be like the Most High. It was when he said it in his heart that he was cast down to hell, the Bible said, and there he became the devil. There was not a devil that tempted him. It was his heart. There was not a devil that caused him to rebel against God. It was his heart. It was not some devil that caused him to lose his place in glory. It was his heart. Hey, friend, the devil don't have to mess you up. All he's got to do is tell you to do what you feel, and you'll be foolish enough to listen. The heart will turn you in to a devil.
I just want to wait till I feel it first. You wait till you feel it, you might get out here and get hit by a truck. You ain't gonna have time to feel it then. The only thing you'll feel is the flames of hell. Job knew the deceit of the human heart, so he prayed for his kids. So when we see Job, then we see a surprising corroboration. While we are visiting the man Job, God is pointing Job out to Satan. When the sons of God came to present themselves to God, Satan presented himself to God and made his report also. Where have you been? Walking to and fro and up and down in the earth. We all know what he was doing. Peter tells us he was seeking whom he may devour. And at this time, God directs his attention to Job. Have you considered my servant Job? There's no one like him in the earth. He's a blameless man and an upright man who fears God and who shuns evil. And Satan's response to Job's piety was this: of course, I can't do anything with Job, because you have put a hedge around him and around his substance and all that he had. This ought to give us some insight to a reality that Satan can't do one thing until God gives him the go-ahead. Can't even talk in your ear until God gives him the green light. That ought to let you know something else. Unless God believes in you, unless God believes you ready to take it, unless God believes that you can make it, he'll never let the devil loose. You've put a hedge around him. But if you will put forth, listen to what Satan said. Now, God, if you will put forth your hand and take all he has, I'll make him curse you to your face. But the truth is, the only way God will put forth his hand against you is if you are in sin. Job wasn't in sin. God wasn't about to put his hand against Job because he was in sin. But what God wanted to do was prove to the devil that there are some people that love me regardless of what they are going through. And you don't know Job like I know Job. Job doesn't love me because I've given him a large house. Job doesn't love me because he's got a job in corporate America. Job doesn't love me because I've given him a Benz and a Mercedes and a BMW. Job doesn't love me because he's got 6-digit income. Job doesn't love me because he's got a healthy family. Job loves me just because I'm God. Job loves me. I don't care what Job has or what Job doesn't have. Job loves me because... Is there somebody that just flat love God? You don't care what the devil has done. You don't care what you're going through. You just love God. And God says, I'll prove it to you. I'll prove it to you. Take all that he has, everything he has is in your power. Did you hear what God just did? God gave the devil total authority over Job's money, over Job's livestock and his investments, over Job's reputation in the city, over Job's safety, family's safety. He gave the devil complete authority. Have you ever felt like you were all by yourself and everything that could go wrong has gone wrong? You've lost all that you worked all your life to get, and you thought you were on the top, and in one day, everything was gone. In one day, everything was lost. You found yourself, your husband runs off with another man. This is 2007, I can talk like that. Your husband runs off with another man. Your children have gone astray. You found death on every side. Your money's gone bad. You lost your job and you prayed and couldn't get through. You felt like you were all by yourself. I'm trying to tell you what happened. God believes in you. God would not have let the devil go against anything you have unless he believed that you can make it. But this tragedy had not torn a curse from Job's lips. When Job went through this, you know what happened. In one day, everything he had was gone. All of his children were killed in a vicious storm. What bad news a man could receive. But Job went home and he didn't go put on his clubbing clothes and say, I'm through with this. I don't want to live for God anymore. Job didn't go home, get his money out, and go down to the package store. Get him a fifth to drink off the pain. No, sir. Job didn't walk off from his ministry. I'll tell you what Job did. Job went home, got on his church clothes. Job went home, got on some shouting shoes. Oh, yes, he did. And Job went to the house of God. He knelt before God. He began to pray. The Lord giveth, and the Lord blesseth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Do I have some people in the house that's been through some crisis? Some people in the house that suffered some pain? The people in the house that's felt forsaken? Can you lift your hands and say, the Lord give it, and the Lord take it away? Come on and clap your hands and praise him. But the devil wasn't through. On another day, it happened again. Satan came to make his report. But I could see God now in his celestial glory, looking at Satan as he walks into the heavenly boardroom, as he walked through the door with his head hanging down. God looked at him with a smirk and said, see, I told you so. I've got somebody. You can't mess up with your tricks. I got somebody. Money doesn't mean as much as me. I got somebody that'll lay down the job, that'll lay down their friends, that'll lay down their life for me. But Satan said, oh, no, no, no. You see, a man will do anything to save his own life. He might not care about money. He might not even love his kids as much as I thought. He might not even love his wealth. He might not even care about positions. But every man loves his own self. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So God said, but I want to let you know Job ain't like everybody else. Touch your neighbor and say, neighbor, I don't believe you are like everybody else. You got God on your mind. From the top of your head to the sole of your feet, I can see God is on your mind. If you got your mind made up, why don't you clap your hands and praise him? I've got my mind made up. I am determined to follow Jesus. Yes, I am. So then Satan is given another green light. I'll tell you what. I didn't let you touch him the last time, but this time I'm going to let you put your hand on him, but I don't want you to touch his soul. The word soul is where we get the word mind, thoughts, and intellect, and will. I'll let you touch his body, but I won't let you touch his mind, because in the mind is where it all happens. Touch your neighbor. If I got my mind made up, I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor any other creature shall be able to separate me from the love of Christ. I've got my mind made up. So I'll let you touch him, but I won't let you touch his mind. So Satan did it. He touched Job from the top of his head to the sole of his feet with sore, swollen, palsy boils all over his body. He was such a wreck of a person. His appearance was so distorted that his wife could no longer bear it. She said, Job, you ought to curse your God and die. But Job said, a woman, you ought to know by now, you don't sound like the woman I married. You don't sound like the woman I walked down the altar with. You don't sound like the woman that went to church with me. You thought when I lifted my hands and said, for God I live and for God I die, you thought it was all cheap talk. But baby, this is the proven time now. I'm not walking out on God. I'm not backsliding. I'm not giving up Sunday school. I'm not giving up my ministry. I'm not giving up church. I'm not going to stop talking in tongues. I'm going to keep on believing the truth. I'm not giving up holiness. For God I live. And for God I'll die. But this is the last time you see the devil. The devil disappears. And for the next 28 chapters, you see nothing but Job's friends and his wife. Now, I got to tell you this as I prepare to get this message to an end. You better be careful who you let talk to you in a trial. And it will not be your enemies that cause you the most problems in your test. It will be people who love you, people who care for you, people who can't bear to see you full of pain because they love you and can't stand to see you going through trials and troubles and hurts and struggles. Their answer for you is to give up what you're doing so you don't have to go through what you're going through. And you got to say, honey, I know you love me. And I know you got the best of intentions. I know that you don't mean me any harm at all. I know you're not trying to discourage me. You're only giving me this advice because you really care. But I gotta let you know, I don't mean no disrespect, but I've made up in my mind that though he slay me, yet shall I trust him. I've made up in my mind that I know 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 that I really, 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 really do know my Redeemer lives. And all the days of my appointed time, I'm going to wait until my change comes. Give somebody a high five, so just wait on it. Your change is going to come. Trouble don't last always. Weeping might endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. It's almost morning time. My Bible says, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Tell somebody, don't give up. Whatever you do, don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't go back. Don't go back. Don't go back. Because your harvest is surely on the way. But for the next 28 chapters, Job's dealing with his friends. But Job, like all of us, comes to a place where he has to break his silence. And Job begins to utter words. Even today, is my complaint bitter? My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find God, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my course before the Lord and fill my mouth with arguments. But I know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No. But if I could find him, if I can get in touch with him, if I could feel him once again, he would put strength in me. Somebody says, strengthen me. Oh, now go down to verse 8 and he says, behold, I go forward, but God is not there. I'm looking forward now. I'm pursuing the dreams that God had put in my spirit, but I still can't find him. I'm looking backward now. I'm looking back at my past testimonies, and I look back and I say, if God did it yesterday, if God brought me out then, if he delivered me from the mouth of the lion and the paw of the bear and the sword of the giant, surely God can deliver me with what I'm going through now. Can somebody shout yes? Yeah. I went forward and I went backward. Still can't find him. I went on the left hand and I still can't find him. I went on the right hand. I still can't find him. Oh, Lord. But I found out so many people right about here would have backslidden right about now, because we're so used to going by our feelings. It's been so long since I felt God, Pastor. I just can't do this no more. I don't feel God anymore. But it's not about feelings. It's about trust. Somebody say, I trust God. He already told me he'll never leave me nor forsake me. Then why am I going through all of this? Why am I suffering like I'm suffering? Why has everything fallen apart? It's all because God believes in me. Give somebody a high five and say, God believes in me. He know it the way I take. He know it the way I'm going to go. God already knew what I was going to do. He would not have let me suffer if he didn't believe I could make it. He wouldn't have let me cry at night if he didn't believe I'd have joy in the morning. Say yeah. And when I am tried, I shall come forth as gold. My foot has held his step. His way have I kept and not declined. Shake somebody's hand and say, neighbor, keep on marching. Keep on running. Keep on shouting. Keep on walking. Keep on living right. Keep on praying right. Keep on loving right. Keep on giving right. Keep on serving right. Keep on. Neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips, because I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold. I'd rather have Jesus than a refrigerator full of food. If I'm broke without a dime, I still got Jesus. If all my friends walk out on me, I still got a word from the Lord. Tell your neighbor, all you really need in your hard times is a word from the Lord. All you really need is a word from the Lord. You don't need no boyfriend. You need a word from the Lord. You don't need a new job. You need a word from the Lord. You don't need a raise. You need a word from the Lord. You don't need to move out to projects. You need a word from the Lord. Say yeah. But he is in one mind. Who can turn him? You know what? God already made up his mind about you. And the devil can't convince him that you are something different. He made you in his image. He already knows what you have. He already knows who you are. He already knows that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, and is him inside of you through the power of the Holy Ghost, saying, come on, devil, bring it on. I've got a vessel I can live in, a vessel I can work through, a vessel I can show myself in, a vessel. I got a vessel I can live in, a vessel I can dwell through, I can show my power through. And whatever his soul desires, that's what he's going to do. For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me. Who's doing this? Who's orchestrated this? Who's orchestrated all this stuff? God has a mission for you. You see, you did not create yourself. And since you can't create yourself, you cannot determine what destiny God has appointed for you. And you got to understand that there's nothing that ever happens to you in your life that did not come to direct you to a purpose that's greater than where you already are. Every lie that's ever been told on you, everybody's ever forsaken you, everything you've ever lost, every loved one that ever betrayed you, every loved one that was ever lost, God allowed it for you for something greater he has in store. That's why it's important. If you do not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you need that power within. Because the Bible says the natural man cannot receive the things of God. They can't understand the things of God. And while you're trying to figure it out, God's already worked it out. And if you have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but you let trials and tests and situations cause your spirit to lay down, you have a hard time worshiping and seeking the face of God, praying and speaking in tongues like you know to do. Because you feel so bad and the devil's whispering in your ear, don't be no hypocrite. How can you go through all that knowing what you're going through? You're just faking it. You tell the devil, no, I'm not faking it. I don't have to feel it to worship him, because worship is not about me. Worship is not about me. Worship is not about me. Worship is about God. And though he slay me, yet shall I trust him. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. God has appointed a thing for me, and many such things are with him. Do you know what's so beautiful about this story? Is that at the end of it all, at the end of it all, God's reward for Job's faithfulness was twice more than what he had. Now, it might be 3 weeks or 3 years or 30 years, or it may simply be on the other side of this life. But your reward is on the way. Your reward is on the way. If you don't get it here, just listen to what Jesus said. Let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it was not so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I shall come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you shall be also. What a wonderful promise. Stand to your feet today. Now lift your hands all over this room. I want you to begin praying all over this room. To you. Lift your voice.
You are the source of
Jesus
my
is the source
strength.
Of your strength. Your money can't do it.
The strength of
physical prosperity,
my life,
material prosperity can never give you the joy.
I lift my
that knowing that you're going to heaven can
in
give you
total praise.
Whoever you are in this room,
to you,
if you need renewing in your spirit, if you need Jesus in your life, you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Whatever it is, I want you to come. Come to the altar right now. I'm going to open this altar for you. You need new life. Yes, you do.
I lift my hands in total
praise
to you.
No matter what I'm going.
Strength.
You are the source of my strength.
You are the strength of
when all hope sees
the
loss, I lift my hand.
I lift
come on.
My hand.
Come and pray.
In
fear and the unbelief off of your mind and lift your hands and give him total praise. Oh yes,
you are the source of my strength.
Sister, if you're in this room and you didn't come to the altar, but you want somebody to pray with you, you just lift your hands all over the room.
Hand. I
find somebody whose hands are lifted and pray for them right now. There's some people back here.
Lift my
come on.
Hand. I lift my voice.
There's a man right there with a red shirt on, wants prayer. There's other people with their hands lifted and wants prayer.
I lift my voice. I lift my voice. I lift.
on, brothers, let's lift our hands and intercede for those who have come. Can you lift your voice and intercede for those who have come to praise the Lord?